Welcome to Watch Our Crappens. I'm Ben. That's Ronnie. And we are so excited because we have not only someone from the Traitors, but someone from the Real Housewives family. Please welcome back. Well, not back to our show for the first time ever. Candace Dillard Bassett. Hello, Candace. How are you? Welcome to Crappens.
Thank Hello. You. I love it here. Yes. Hello, Crappens family. Yes.
Yes. We love it there. Look at your beautiful bookcase that you have back there. I love that green you. Color. You
know, reading is fundamental.
Yes.
You know, as yes, they say. Is. And this is one of my favorite colors. My whole office is this. It's called breakfast room green. But I love the color sage. So I have to put that on the wall.
We've got a new name now.
Is it really called Breakfast Room Green?
Yeah, it's they did not pay me to say this, but the company is called Farrow and Ball. And that's the name of the color, Breakfast Room Green. So
wow.
Love it.
Yeah. Well, we are very sad you're here.
Traitors, fantastic job. How is the after press of Traitors? How's it been going?
It's fun. It's been great. It's been sort of reminiscent and kind of like, you know, a little nostalgic to like, oh, what a time that we had. Because we filmed it last June. So it's been quite some time. Like my son was 8 months and he's 17 months now. So it's like, wow, all the time that has passed. But it's been fun. It's been like getting to reminisce and like relive like the most otherworldly, insane experience I've ever had in unscripted TV, and probably the only one that I would definitely do again and do the same way.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I mean, tell us about this. Tell us about what it was like when you like arrived at the castle. What was the castle like? What were your thoughts even going into it? Did you want to be a traitor? Did you want to be a faithful? Like, just give us the whole spiel.
Yeah. So, I mean, who wants to go on a show called Traitors and not be a traitor? Like,
exactly.
Duh. Like, hello. I think I said in one of my interviews, like, the traitors are the main characters. The show is called The Traitors. They're on the marquee. I am a main character. So, of course, I wanted to be one of the main characters. Humbly, of course. No, I said, okay, if I'm going to leave my baby and go to the other side of the world, it needs to be worth it. And how fun is it to get to like murder people and you don't have to go to jail? Like we're adults playing a board game. It's
like, can I pick my own cast?
Right. Okay. Yes. And so when I arrived, I was enamored with the castle. It is this just gargantuan, stunning, it's a behemoth. It's like this, it's huge. And we kind of lived and worked and played in a lot of it. And there was still so much of the castle that we did not get to see. Some parts were sort of closed off for like construction and renovations and what have you. But we were in a lot of the castle and there was so much that we were not able to visit. So there, and a lot of the times, like when you're walking to do interviews, it would be like a 5-minute walk. And you're walking through these halls and up these stairs and then back downstairs and then up. And you get lost. It's huge. It's a maze and it's stunning. But it was so much fun to be there. And I think Dorinda was saying that she knows the people that it's called Ardross Castle. She knows the owner. So she was telling us like all the lore and the history of the castle, which was fun and interesting. But yeah, I was excited to get there.
Yeah, it's funny because, by the way, what you're saying about the castle, because it kind of looks oddly small on TV, because I guess you guys are always shooting in the same like 4 rooms. So it always seems like you guys are going to run into each other. Like, oh my God, why are you saying that? Like, why are you sitting there? Like, everyone's going to find you. But it sounds like it was actually much more expansive than it looks on TV.
Oh, for sure. So the breakfast room, the library, the bar, the kitchen were all kind of like concentrated right around, like it almost felt like a rotunda because they were all kind of in a circle. And then the stairs kind of broke it up a little bit. But the round table room is like way at the other end. And all of the interviews, like all the things, the interviews that we were doing were in like random places in the castle. Mm-hmm. So it was huge. It was huge. And it just felt like it kept going and going.
Wow. So what was your, once you were chosen as a traitor, what was your plan? What did you think, like, okay, now that I'm a traitor, this is how I'm going to conduct myself as a traitor. This is how I'm going to play this game.
So I didn't really have like a plan. Mm-hmm. I knew that, okay, I have to live a double life here. And I'm going to have to employ some of my acting skills. And I'm going to have to employ some of my like survival skills from Housewives here. And you just almost immediately lock in. Like as soon as I was tapped on the shoulder, it was like, okay, I mean, you saw, I barely moved. So I was already like, okay, yeah. I'm already playing the part. Cause inside I was like doing backflips and just screaming at the top of my lungs. But, I knew I had to keep a cool head and I had to behave and walk and talk and act as if I was a faithful all the while, like wearing this hat and like using the mind of a traitor and be sort of sleuthy and duplicitous and sneaky. So I didn't like plan my strategy for how to behave. It just kind of befell me. I figured it out as I went.
Yeah. Instinct.
Yes.
So the audiences, you know, the fandom for Real Housewives obviously is one of the more intense fandoms on TV.
Yes.
I would imagine, you know, we're a part of it and it's harsh in there.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But you know what is so funny though? Yes, I agree with you. But the gamers,
that's what I was going to say.
Thank you.
Say, like, yes. You're coming from Housewives, but then you got the gamer fandom. So how was that? How was navigating that? And how would you compare the two?
I think the gamers, they're a bit more, what's the word? They're a little more sensitive. Like they need some triangles and some big girl panties. They're whiny. Like I feel like Housewives fans, and I can speak specifically to my fan base. My fans are smart. They are educated. They're well read. They come from spaces of academia and fundamental reading. They have books behind them, honey.
Breakfast Room Green. They know it.
Yes, they know Breakfast Room Green. My supporters are just, they're the cream of the crop. And, you know, even the worst of the fandom, you know, I won't name names, but you know who they are. Even they're astute and they like, they're in on it. They're in on the joke. I think what's changed about Housewives is that, you know, we're celebrating 20 years of Housewives. The fans are in on the joke. They know what's happening. You can't pull one over on them anymore. Like they understand the way production works and they know they can tell when somebody is faking or lying, or at least, you know, they think they can. And they're really vocal about that. The gamers, a lot of them are just, they're just whiny and they don't have any like evidence to back up the whining. They're just like, why are all these housewives in the turret? It's supposed to be gamers. Well, why, John?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, let's get into it. It's time to get into it, right?
You know, even like the fandom of Housewives, like we're used to arguing because Housewives is arguing. So it's conflict resolution, as someone recently said on Housewives. So we'll get messy with each other in a comment, but then give each other arguments for days and comment upon comment and at least be able to like hear each other out. Where I feel like the gamers are just like, you suck!
Like, they're throwing tantrums and with nothing to back it up. It's tomato. Yeah.
Well, so the thing that like has lit up the Housewives fandom, including yours truly, and I'm thinking all three of us were lit up. Actually, Candace, I saw you being pretty active about this article, as was I. So Joe Reed in Vulture/New York Magazine, he comes out with an incendiary piece that says basically housewives should be banned from the traitors. And I personally felt like this was dripping with misogyny. I thought this
misogyny
was
left, dripping. Right and center.
And his argument is that the housewives are not there to play the game. They are there to create drama and then go into social media and perpetuate the drama. Mind you, his article had such a clickbaity headline, the housewives need to be banned from the traitors. So he is complaining that the housewives caused drama online while simultaneously putting out an article to light the internet on fire. But that's okay. So what do you say to all that? What do you say to this hot take?
How embarrassing. Joe, or whatever your name is. And I think I tweeted or I posted on Threads, Vulture needs to ban you from journalism because you do a disservice to the art form by even creating or letting such a narrative sit out in the public and spoil and be moldy, because this is a moldy, spoiled, dirty, funky take. And I think, you know, I'm one of many, I think, who resent this idea that housewives are one. He kind of painted us as this sort of one-dimensional group that all we do, all we are is drama. All we are is emotion. And that's just simply not the case. And I say all the time, more so about Black women, but it can apply to housewives in general, that we are not monolithic. We are not one way. We are not, you know, one-sided. We have many layers to us. We are not all of us, okay, but many of us are onions that require layers that need to be peeled back and peeled back. And you don't always get that in one, two, or even sometimes three seasons. And it takes time to really get the full scope of who we are. But to also do such a crime in the month of women's history, like...
Oh, yes, Candace, go there. I love it.
Where is a shoe for me to jettison? Like, eat my shoe, okay? It's just... it's disrespectful. And it's also like, yeah, we're entertaining. Are you mad about it? Because while you sit and pitter-patter on your laptop... spewing misogyny and spewing this hatred toward an entire group of people who live and breathe to create entertainment and give layers and give gravitas and moxie to the people, you reek of hateration. It reeks of hateration to me. And as you said, of misogyny. And then I found it interesting who he chose to zero in on his criticism. And I believe it was myself. And he also had a lot to say about Danielle and sort of referring to us as, I want to say, some of like the worst traitors or some criticism of that nature. And that's interesting as well.
And that's crazy. It's crazy that he would say you're one of the worst traitors, because I took a screenshot of something that he actually had very complimentary things to say about you earlier in the season. He said, man, I love Candace Dillard Bassett, the poet laureate of Potomac, so much. Then he goes, but she's coming across like a sore loser at this reunion. So I guess maybe I take that back. But like, it seemed like he had like some love for you, but it just, to me, it's just like crazy that, that I feel like he's just discounting a whole group of people when he also wrote an article saying how the villains were doing so well this season, and he highlighted Colton and Michael. And if you talk about drama, I mean, they're the ones causing the most drama.
Yeah, Michael was the biggest drama queen. And then you have Jam Jam, like, oh, it was a kiss! It was a real kiss, you know? So, come on, that was a gamer.
And actually, you know what? He also said this. I think this was actually the quote I meant to read. I didn't mean to read one where he was like, fuck Candace. He said, I think the big reason why I'm loving this season of The Traitor so far, despite an early boot order, is that the traitors, Candace especially, are making good, smart moves. So he actually called you out for making good, smart moves. So it's surprising that then he comes out with an article where he's like, oh yeah, the housewives aren't really there to compete. I just don't understand that.
So, well, two things. To say that we are not there to compete, like, waking up every morning and putting our eyebrows on, we are in competition. Okay. We are doing the work. And I also feel like, I believe he called me loquacious, and I was like, okay. And like, well, thank you. Like,
it's either that or Mark Ballas.
Right. What do you, oh, I love Mark. No. Mark did start speaking up later. Shout out to Mark. That's my boo. But no, I mean, I'll say this too about me being talkative. Many times when the roundtables would start, no one would speak. We would start the roundtable, and there'd be a solid like 45 seconds of just nothing.
Yeah, and the whole season. I mean, it never got to the point where people were just starting off,
just ready to jump in. So I'm like, okay, I'm ready for my glass of wine. I'm ready for my pastry. I need to go to bed. Okay, this makeup has been on for 12 hours. I need to go to bed. Yeah, and smoked salmon. They had these like salmon pots that were really good that they would give us as snacks. That I don't think I want my salmon pot. I want my red wine or my white wine. You only get two glasses a night. That's the maximum. I'm ready for my wine. Yes, two and my eggs and my salmon. So I'm ready to go. We have to get this party started, and you all are dilly dallying and pussyfooting about. So let's get it started. So often I was just, you know, nobody else was speaking, so I was like, okay, let's get it started. And am I chatty? Yes. Am I loquacious? Yes, sure. But I just, so is Colton. It's like, again, the white male patriarchy of it all is just, it's run rampant in these Americas. It's the reason why y'all's president is y'all's president, because of people like Joe and his foolishness that he writes down on paper and calls it journalism. It's embarrassing.
Joe is a Joe. You're a fall for Trump. Damn it. We're late. It seemed to me because one of the best parts about all of these shows, both of the shows you were on, is the reading the comments after. I love getting into a messy thread and just reading people fight. You know, I love an online war.
Yeah.
And it seemed like a lot of this pushback for Housewives didn't really happen until towards the end of the season when, you know, there were a lot of social media things. Like Chris was on there saying, you know, he doesn't like women. You know, it's Chris. I love that you married a man who will also get into some mess on social media. You know, you're mad.
He's not afraid of the mud.
Yeah. So it seems like a lot of it came from that and kind of the reaction. Kind of your reaction when you left. So what do you say to that? Do you feel, you know, what do you say to people calling you a sore loser and stuff like that? What's your reaction to that?
Well, it's funny that I just found this out today. Because Rob had a lot of support online. And I was always like, well, who are these people? Who are these supporters? And he recently was seen out with an ice out pen on like on a lapel or on his shirt or something. Mm-hmm. Which, and I stand in agreement with him.
I love that he did that, actually.
Yeah, I think, and Rob always, we didn't talk politics, but he always struck me as someone that I could trust with a general election vote. Like, I don't think he's voting, you know, for demons to come overtake America. And a lot of the fandom is pissed at him. And when people would be in my comments, calling me a sore loser and, you know, criticizing me, I would always be, it always kind of felt foreign to me, like the direction it was coming from. So now that I know that a lot of the people that were rooting for Rob are probably MAGA supporters, I'm like, okay, sure, call me a sore loser. You're a sore voter. You're an idiot. So I'm not, I can't be upset.
It's hard to take you seriously.
I can't take you seriously. Yeah.
I have to say that like we've known you from Potomac and we have known the full range of your emotions and what you're capable of doing. And like you calling Rob to task at the reunion, I felt like was you just saying like, hey, it's fine that you won, but but like, don't try to have a narrative where you're just like the good guy or whatever, who just like, is like, you have to own up to some of the things you did to us. And people were like, oh my God, she's a sore loser. I'm like, you guys don't know the Candace. You guys don't know the Candace that we know. If she was being a sore loser, we would have seen a much bigger reaction.
That was our reaction. We were like, you think this is bad? These housewives, listen, you've never seen a tamer housewife than these housewives, because you could have Candace up there.
Thank you.
They could have handed you a butter knife. They could have had Dorinda. Like.
Thank you. I resent this idea that as I said on the show, I'll quote myself, that I also need to drink Rob's bathwater. I was not that thirsty. Like, I don't need to drink his bathwater. And there was this overwhelming just hypnotization of Rob. And he's a wonderful person. He's very sweet. He was very kind. He's a Southern gentleman. We talked a lot about the fact that he's from Alabama. My family, both sides of my family, are also from Alabama. And we talked about that in the cat. Like, so I don't take away from him as a person, but this idea that everyone needs to be up his butt is insane to me. I saw nothing wrong with me having criticism of the way that he played the game. You have no problem, general public, criticizing all of the women and their gameplay, but somehow Rob, we're going to rewrite history and make Rob's game flawless. It wasn't flawless. Honestly, yeah, I mean, I think it's natural to
rip apart each other's games. I mean, that's what the whole thing is talking about
gameplay. That's a part of the show. Yes, gamers do that all the time, but somehow it's become this, you know, this crime, this high crime misdemeanor, because I'm criticizing his game. I applaud that he won. He won the show. I'm happy that he won. But it was just the way that he was like, well, I didn't really want to. And I, oh. And
yeah, there's like a little bit of bullshit in there. There's some bullshit. Right?
I'm just a boy.
Yeah.
And
like that part, I was like, okay, you did all these treacherous things. Own that you did these treacherous things.
Yeah.
There was some, you know, from the traitors, duh, Ronnie, from the reunion, when you were kind of insinuating that he might have cheated by telling Colton whatever. What do you think about, were you accusing him of cheating, and do you think he did cheat?
I don't know if he cheated. I just know what I was told. And when I got home from the castle, and I think, because we all kind of got home around the same time. Well, by the time I left, the last five were like right behind me. And we all kind of got on the phone over the course of like that next week to debrief and be like, well, what did you think of this and what happened? And, da, 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 da. And one of the calls I got was from Colton. And I want to make it clear, I did not call Colton. Colton got my number from somebody. I think somebody, he asked someone, hey,
he's good at that.
Can you?
He was outside your house.
Comment. Ben. Oh my God. Y'all.
Continue.
Colton, don't come crying to me.
We're just kidding.
We're just kidding. Easy joke.
So he called my phone, and, you know, among other, he said a bunch, we were talking about a bunch of stuff, just debriefing. And he said to me, yeah, Rob told me you were a traitor. And I said, and at the time I thought that he meant that he, because he told me where it happened. He said, I think he told me you were a traitor at the mountain challenge, that abhorrent, horrific challenge that should be banned. It was horrible. Somewhere in there is when he told me that he told him. And so I waited all season to see it, because I'm like, oh, well, if he built up this case against me, for sure they're going to show this. This is like a pinnacle moment for one of the traitors to be outed. And it never came. And then I said, well, wait, if he didn't tell him on the show, then where did he tell him? And how did he tell him? So these are just the questions that I think anyone with
if he had told him, wouldn't he have to say, she's a traitor and I know because I'm a traitor? So is the insinuation also telling him that he was a traitor?
Because what other reason, he had to have like built a case against me. I think Candace is a traitor because I saw her do this.
X, Y, Z.
Or I heard her say something, or she's been acting suspicious, something. And from my purview, I was not detectable. There weren't really a lot of people, if anyone. Mark told me he was suspicious of me because I gave him Skittles at like in like episode 3 or something. I was like,
I mean, that's a smoking gun.
Just giving him Skittles. And the same sort of critique when I suggested Johnny go or get a shield during that portrait challenge. I was just being nice. There was strategy behind that.
I have to tell you, Candace, one of my biggest frustrations with this season, because I'm someone who plays these games like Mafia, et cetera. I'm a big like board gamer. I do all these games.
Yeah.
And the one of the biggest frustrations I had is that you didn't just give like one breadcrumb. You didn't give just two breadcrumbs. You gave two big pieces of, you gave two loaves. You gave a challah. You put like a challah out on the table and you were like, it's Rob, everyone. Good night. Yeah, and like as much as you could without saying it. And the way they did not even pursue that, did they even talk about, like, it seemed like they just completely discounted it. And it was painful for me that they just would not. And Maura's like, well, I think that it might be that, but I think she just messed up. And I'm like, look at that. You have so little to go on. Why don't you look at the one tangible thing? How was that for you to watch that? It was bad for me, but as you, as the one who actually left the bread there, how was that? Yeah.
Infuriating, in a word, especially watching it back, because of course I left, so I didn't know what they were going to do with the information. But to watch it and to see just the blatant dedication to being dumb. Like, you have to try to be this dumb. Like, I think, who said it? My sister Kenya said in one season of Atlanta, talking about Portia, she was like, it almost hurts me to watch her be so dumb. And I had to like go back to that place and just sit with her because, wow, my flabbers were gassed at just how do you miss this? What other, and they kept almost getting it. Like, well, why would she do that? It just didn't make any sense.
Hello.
Yeah. Are we
but the Skittles.
But it was Skittles. I was Skittles. I was actually thinking about you because I was watching clips this morning in bed, as I do, of Maura getting her Birkin on Watch What Happens.
On Watch What Happens Live. Yeah.
You see that?
Yes, I saw the clips. Congratulations, Maura. I hope it restores some faith in men for her, because she's spoken at length about how she doesn't trust anyone, you know, least of all men. And for once a man, what did she say? She said it's not so much that he got the Birkin, but that he kept his promise. So if for nothing else, restoring some faith in, you know, in men, as you know, it's hard to trust them in general.
It restored some of my faith. I mean, he'll get you a Birkin, because I thought that was so old fashioned when a man fucks you over and then he gets you a gift. But I'm glad to see that still there. And we're not just getting fucked over and that's the end now, because I don't like
men take note
of life. Yeah.
Yeah. Take note, men.
I want to talk one positive thing, like, or I hope a positive thing is you coming back to like reality TV in a big way here with this. Do you feel that you've been seen differently than you were on the Potomac? Like, do you feel like, oh, I finally got to show a side of myself, or people got to know me in a different way? They may have had preconceived notions of how I was on Potomac, but now they actually got to see a different Candace.
Yeah. That was part of the reason why I think I wanted to do the show, was to sort of open myself up to a new audience and, you know, perhaps reframe the way that the current audience viewed me. Because again, Black women are not monolithic. We are layered and we come in many different shapes and colors and sizes and personalities. And, you know, when you're on a show with, you know, 6 or 7 big personalities, it's hard to see all sides of someone, especially when you become sort of typecast. And I own that I was sort of this spoiled princess who was, you know, seen more often as emotional than she was not. And that is me. I own that part of myself. That's just not all that I am. And I love that I was able to put myself into a game where, you know, you're employing things like strategy and conga lines to sort of show that there's more to me. And I am fun and I can be light and I can, you know, get through a season of something and not get into like a huge argument with someone unless they're a snake and they lie.
And that was a rough end too to your time on Potomac. I mean, that was just like intense.
It was not pretty.
That was like 2 years of intensity, like severe intensity. So
it was a lot to recover from,
I imagine. My God.
Yeah.
I loved seeing the Candesance, as I'm going to call it right now, the Candesance on the Traitors. I loved I thought you did actually, you did do, I think, a great job. And I honestly,
thank you.
Well, the only thing that really, I think that really bummed me out was I loved you, Lisa and Rob, when you guys were a Traitor family. I thought you guys were so fun together and I knew you guys wouldn't ever be able to make it all the way through together, but when it started to crumble, I got so sad. I was really, really sad about that, you know?
Yeah. I will say this. I actually did think probably by episode five or six, I woke up one morning that morning and I was like, wow, we could maybe win together. Like we could maybe all three traitors go to the end, because at that point it still felt like we were a cohesive unit and we were still really flying under the radar. And we had, you know, pulled off at that point, we pulled off both of our heists, our murders in plain sight. And we were just sort of working together as a great team. So I naively, obviously hindsight, felt like we could go to the end together. And I was also just really disappointed that the band got broken up, because I think that, you know, in the history, the short history that is U.S. Traitors, I think we'll go down as, you know, like some of the most iconic trios of traitors to get that far and still be on one accord.
Yeah, I really loved watching you guys work together. And I guess, I'm sorry, we are going to let you go very shortly, but I do want to ask you some questions about like when you first voted against Rob and then the second time. So the first vote against Rob, I think a lot of us in the audience were like, oh no, this probably won't end well, because this is going to start like, when you did that, was that like a spur of the moment decision? Like, what was your thought behind that? And then also then the subsequent vote, it seemed like the talk was between you or Steven, but you were trying to do a push for Rob. Do you feel like you kind of like split the vote? Do you think if you had just piled on to Steven, it would have been better for you? I'm just, as a fan of the game, like I'd love to hear what was going through your head.
So with my first vote, that was a strategic move. I knew at that point, I knew earlier that day that I was probably not going to make it, because whatever seeds Rob had planted, he had garnered enough trust by like shoving his bathwater down everybody's throats and gotten them to like get on board with him, that they were not going to trust me over him. I knew there wasn't a lot that I'd be able to say, because I'd seen it. I'd seen just the very hard-lined, like vehement, like, well, it's not Rob, so who else is it? As people are like going through the list. So for me, the moment was about, if I'm going to go out, I'm going out clearing desks and as much as I can within the confines of the game, I'm going to shout Rob's name so that even when I'm gone, my ghost will live on as people can hopefully somehow recall back to, well, why did Candace do this? This doesn't make sense. It's out of the blue. And what was your other question?
Oh, it was basically actually all wrapped up in that. That point, did you realize it was like, oh, it's too late, so I'm just going to just put it all on to Rob as much as possible?
Yeah, yes. And no one was really saying Steven to me. I was not hearing Steven. And at that point, there weren't a lot of people left, but I was hearing people say that they were hearing my name, and that was it. That was all I was hearing. So then I was, my goal was just to, as much as I could, get people to look at Rob without, you know,
just not saying it,
blurting out his name.
Yeah. My God. Wow. Well, great job. It was a great season, and it was good.
Still think you did great.
On the yeah.
TV.
Can you tell us about your, you have a new podcast out, right?
Yes.
Can you tell us about it?
Yes, I have a new podcast. It's called Undomesticated. We are on the Odyssey Podcast Network. It features myself and my amazing co-host, Michael Arsenault. And we are talking about everything that's happening in your group chats, at your kitchen tables. We're talking about, we do a segment where Michael talks extensively about baddies on Zeus, because he is a baddies fan. Okay. We have a segment called Nobody Asked Me But, which was kind of born out of my, to quote my former boss, my being a disaster on Twitter. It's a space for really me, but anybody that comes on the show, to just opine about whatever. Like, nobody asked me, but I think that Maura is a fool for accepting the Birkin bag, or whatever you want to say. So it's just, it's a space to get your thoughts out about anything. We talk about relationships, we talk about pop culture. People were kind of like up in arms that I was talking about Housewives. Why did you leave the show if you're going to talk about Housewives? Well, Housewives is pop culture. So if there is a breaking news moment, like my former cast member potentially going to jail, God forbid, we're going to talk about that. Like that's the news of the day. That should be on CNN.
Are they not going to let NFL people talk, be football commentators? I mean, the whole point is that you have the experience that makes you more informed to talk about it.
Exactly. Ooh. Yeah, but that's, I mean, that's, they are. And that's, but that's, that is a small grain of rice in comparison to everything else we discuss. Whatever is happening in pop culture, in the zeitgeist, we are discussing, and we're doing it with Michael's sort of signature cynicism and my just penchant for being mouthy and loud and, you know, the mess you see before you.
We love that. And you have a new single out too. We also would have to promote for everyone to go download it and listen to it, right? If only.
Yes. If only. Yes. It is the new single that will be a part of my new album, which will be coming later this year. I do also have a remix coming to If Only with an amazing vocalist. I won't say who yet, but an amazing vocalist that you all know and love. And then I will actually be going on tour with this person later in the year. So
nice.
Lots of exciting moments on the music front. There's also a visual out on YouTube and Vevo you can check out, and just keep streaming and downloading and letting me know what you think. I love all of the feedback on the song, and I can't wait for you guys to hear the remix and the next single, which will be coming soon as well.
Fabulous. Well, congratulations on that. I mean, in my mind, I do believe that you have like one of the very best Housewives songs in Traffic. Love that song.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Candace. You were hilarious. Oh my God. Thank you for spilling all this tea on our podcast today. You were great. Course. Congratulations on your run on the Traitors. And thanks for being here with us. Everyone go check out our podcast, Undomesticated. Thanks, Candace.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto. Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels!
We never miss her call, it's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride.
Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Can I have a Kavanaugh? It's Anna Kavanaugh.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher. Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.